So as we began, the Ramban on Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof quotes as follows a medrash. So Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, run after righteous, why so you should live. If you judge yourself, Im lav, if you don't judge yourself, hu yadin alecha, then God will judge you. We're talking about karcha. Listen to Rav Soloveitchik's beautiful words on this. Laman tichye. So he quotes from the Ramban, the Sefer Abba here. He says as follows. What does it mean to judge yourself? And he says, it's no accident. There's no accident ever in Judaism, but there's no accident that Parsha Shoftim is often the first Parsha that we read in the month of Elul, when we're talking about judging. We're talking about judging ourselves. And the Rav Soloveitchik understands that what this medrash that the Ramban is quoting is alluding to is the importance of every person during the month of Elul taking a few moments to judge themselves. What do you mean to judge themselves? Introspection. To take a step out of yourself, and look at yourself and say, okay, how am I doing? To judge yourself. What areas am I doing well in? What areas am I not doing well in? And what needs to improve? Listen to his beautiful words. We are required to judge ourselves, engage in introspection. Each of us must split himself into two personae. Soloveitchik says, every person has to split himself into two people, into judge as well as defendant. Maybe he's alluding to that's what it means, tzedek, the double tzedek. Maybe. He doesn't quite say that. As stated above, shotrim v'shotin tilin chabachol sharecha, you have to set up judges at each of our gates, closing off all escape routes, all spurious rationales which stop us from genuine introspection. So he says, shoftim, again, alpi drush, shoftim v'shotrim, putting up watchmen over the gates. Don't let yourself out of this judgment. Don't let yourself run away. Put up shoftim v'shotrim, put up guards and blockers to make sure that you don't get away from your own judgment on yourself. And that this parsha is generally the first one read in the month of Elul. I think it's true, right, this year? It's the first parsha read in the month of Elul. Before the Yom Narum, one must approach himself as an objective observer and provide an honest self-assessment. So tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, laman tichye, if you want to live, it's not just tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, pasha pshat, like in Bezdin, you have to make sure to conduct all your dealings with justice. It means, quotes the Ramban, it means to judge yourself, to run after judgment of yourself. And you have to, essentially, I enjoyed the way he phrased it, you somehow, to be an honest judge of yourself. How do you judge yourself? You're a nogea bedavar. You're biased on your own judgment of yourself. How do you ever judge yourself? Isn't it the hardest thing in the world to judge? I often like to joke, and again, I'm a school guy, that's why I joke this way, but wouldn't it be amazing that every day before you went to bed, before you put your head on the pillow, you got a report card? Like, how did I do today? Like, today I got a 90 in my own Avodas Hashem, in my own service. Today I got a 75. Do we think like that? Today I got an 80. Yeah, again, that's what I'm saying. I'm a school guy. But wouldn't it be amazing? Like, wouldn't life be a lot easier? It's so hard to do that.
Stressful.
It would also be very stressful. That's true. It would be very stressful. But it's also impossible to do. How do you give yourself a grade? That's what he's alluding to here. In order to really give yourself a grade, you got to get yourself out of yourself. You have to somehow remove yourself out of yourself, and you have to be two people at the same time, the judge and the judged. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do. But it's something that during this month we really have to think about.
You learned in the past, though, from other sources we talked about, every day is different. So you learn from today, okay, it was today's day, and it's great. Tomorrow starts new. It's
exactly.
A new day.
Exactly.
It starts new.
Definitely. And the month of El is all about starting new. It's all about having a new opportunity, a new starting. Agreed 100%. Now, the next piece is the one that you woke up in the morning for. Okay, this is the one that you got out of bed for. It's the next one. Okay? He said, and again, he gets to this from a pasuk that we're all very familiar with. And I dare say we never thought about this explanation when we read this pasuk. I certainly never thought about it. But you look a few psukim later, so we all know a very famous halacha. I'm sure we're all familiar with this in pasuk vav. Al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim yumas hames. We know that when it comes to convicting someone, it's got to be with two or three witnesses. Lo yumas al pi eid echad. We don't convict somebody based on one aid. Now, Rav Soloveitchik here quotes a medrash. He quotes a medrash. He quotes it from the Raya Mehemna. He quotes it from the Raya Mehemna, which is a Zohar, part of the Zohar. I have the Zohar, and I couldn't find, I spent a while, so I just typed it verbatim from, in another one of the Rav Salavitch Svarim, Yemezi Karon. So Rav Salavitch, there's many Svarim by Rav Salavitch Torah, but one of them is called Yemezi Karon, particularly on the Yamin Aroim. So he takes it out of this piece. I found this to be really, really fascinating. So he quotes from this Raya Mehemna, which I believe is part of the Zohar, who says like this. You can look at it inside with me. Kishabas Satan Lakatra Gal Yisrael Barash Hashanah. When the Satan comes to prosecute the Jewish people on Rosh Hashanah, Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Havei Li Shnei Edim. So the Satan comes to try to prosecute against the Jewish people on Rosh Hashanah. So Hashem says to him, okay, you claim the Jewish people are obligated to be killed, to be destroyed, so bring me witnesses. Bring me two Edim. So says the Medrash. Shenemar, al pi shnei edim, al pi shlosh edim, yalkum davar. Similar, not exactly the same pasuk we have in our parasha, but similar pasuk. We know it takes two witnesses. So God says to the Satan, bring me witnesses if you want to convict the Jewish people in Rosh Hashanah. V'hu holech lahavi chama ulevana, says the Medrash. So who does God bring as his witnesses against Jewish people? The sun and the moon.
The Satan.
Sorry, the Satan, right. The sun and the moon. Aval halavana miskaseis per Rosh Hashanah. However, since this judgment is taking place on Rosh Hashanah, says the Medrash, we know that the moon hides on Rosh Hashanah. How do you know the moon hides on Rosh Hashanah? Famous pasuk, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'keseh liyom chagenu kichok liyisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. That's the pasuk of Rosh Hashanah. B'keseh liyom chagenu. We know Rosh Hashanah that the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, is hidden on Rosh Hashanah. What do you mean the new moon is hidden Rosh Hashanah? We're all excited about Rosh Hashanah. We forget that it's also Rosh Chodesh. The new moon, because Rosh Hashanah sort of overshadows Rosh Chodesh. That's why we don't mention Rosh Chodesh really on it. We say Musfei. Okay? We have one allusion to it. We say Musfei Yom HaZikaron Hazeh. That's the allusion. That's the one thing. We have a little hint that there's two Musafs. There's a Musaf for Rosh Hashanah, but in the davening you don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all. The moon is hidden on Rosh Hashanah. What does this mean? What is this mean? It's not right. It's right. But that's every Rosh Chodesh. I'm saying, but particularly on Rosh Hashanah, is Bakesel Yom Chagenu, that Rosh Chodesh, it's there, but you can't see it. Good. But and on Rosh Chodesh, it's the one Rosh Chodesh of the year where, because it's Rosh Hashanah, we sort of ignore Rosh Chodesh. It's like hidden.
How do we define the word Kesel? What does it mean?
Kesel means covered, like Kisui.
Just covered.
Kisui, yeah. Bakesel Yom Chagenu. It's covered because the fact that it's a Yontif. It's a Rosh Chodesh is covered. It's the only Yontif of the year on the beginning of the month. It's the only Yontif in the beginning of the month. And says the Medrash, and this is a quote from the Gemara, Ezeu Chag Shachodesh Mishkasebo, which is the Gemara Darshan's in this pasuk, which is the Yontif that Rosh Chodesh is covered on it? Haveyom is there Rosh Hashanah. So the moon is covered. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Satan tries to nail us. God says, bring two witnesses. The Satan says, no problem, I got two witnesses. I'm bringing the sun and the moon. One problem, the Satan doesn't realize it's Rosh Hashanah. The moon ain't showing up. B'kesel Yom Chagenu. So it's only one witness. So God says, to the Satan, you only have one witness. You can't convict the Jewish people. Lo yumas al pi yed echad. Hang on. Barry, give me a second. I promise you, give me a second. Now listen to Rav Salavitch's drush on this medrash. Listen to his drush. This is what it was worth waking up for. I was blown away. Listen to his drush. And it's so funny, and the Sefer writes, and this is the pashup shot of the medrash. I didn't know there was a pashup shot to this medrash. This is the pashup, this is Rav Salavitch. Don't argue with me. He says, this is the simple explanation of this medrash. Listen to this shot. I should have read it to you in Hebrew. It's in a different Sefer. Listen to what he says. He says, Pashup says, the sun, what does it mean the sun and the moon testify against the Jewish people? He says there's two different testimonies. The sun is the revealed testimony. The moon, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. That's the thing with them. The sun is the same every day. I mean, again, the clouds could block it, but the sun, it's always light. The moon, sometimes you see it, sometimes it gets bigger, it gets smaller. The sun is always the same. The sun testifies regarding those deeds that are revealed. To demonstrate Klal Yisrael's actions are full of sin. There's a lot of revealed things. There's a lot of open things that we do, Jews do a lot of open things wrong. We do things that are clear, that we know are wrong, that anyone who wants to look at it can tell that they are wrong. However, the moon testifies regarding the inner hidden essence of the Jews. In contrast to the personality of public man, there's also private man, hidden, mysterious, unknown even to himself. This mysterious aspect represents the true personality one has, the neshama tahora deep inside a person that sometimes gets deep inside there. It's covered over. You don't even know. It's hard to connect to it. That's what's represented by the moon. That's what's going on deep inside an individual, the neshama tahora that has not been affected by sin. The moon, which represents that hidden essence, changes from a prosecuting witness to a defense witness on Rosh Hashanah. So said Rav Soloveitchik. What does it mean, this medrash? The sun shows up, the moon doesn't show up. What do you mean the moon doesn't show up on Rosh Hashanah? When it says Rav Soloveitchik, what the medrash means that the moon doesn't show up on Rosh Hashanah is because what's deep hidden inside a person cannot testify against him on Rosh Hashanah. Because what's deep inside a person tells a Jew deep inside that even though you think on the outside you might look like I do this wrong, I do that wrong on the outside, you might think I have this problem, deep inside, said Rav Soloveitchik, deep inside in the hidden world of a Jew, he's totally pure. That neshama that's deep inside, that gets hidden over, it gets covered over. When we do things wrong, it's not the essence who we are. Many of them, unfortunately, it's just something we do. We messed up. We did something wrong. But deep inside, a Jew on Rosh Hashanah can connect to that hidden part of him. That hidden part of him is that neshama deep inside that sometimes he loses track with in the course of the regular dealings. So he says that's what it means, that the Satan calls the moon to testify, but the moon won't do it because the moon represents that area of life that's hidden, that's mysterious, that's inside, that will not come out because the moon knows. That's why we always say Klal Yisrael is compared to the moon. Right? The Jewish people are compared to the Levana. Shehem asidim l'schadesh kemosa, we say by the benching Rosh Chodesh, by the Kiddush Levana, we say, right, the Jewish people are compared to the moon because sometimes we're shining great in Jewish history and sometimes we're down. That's why we're always compared to the moon. But Rav Soloveitchik said, based on Al-Pi Drush, that one of the keys to our good judgment on Rosh Hashanah is looking deep. We spoke before about judging yourself, but there's also looking deep inside and trying to get to that point of purity, that point of Elokai Neshama Shenasata B'Tahorehi, that Neshama that's deep inside that's pure, that we can connect to. And he says that's why the Satan is not successful with us, because God on Rosh Hashanah looks at our essence inside. He's not moved by just the sun, by what's on the outside. If he just would judge us by what we look like on the outside, then we would lose. But that's only 1-8. That's only 1-8. There's also a hidden. We'll get an Amber Alerts. Okay.
But Rabbi, wouldn't we want the moon to show up and testify?
He says that, but by not showing up, that he is showing up. That's what he's saying. By not showing up to testify against us, that means that's because he refuses to be a defense. By not showing up, he refuses to testify against us. Because he says the hidden part of a Jew, again, the Satan's calling this court case. He doesn't show up. By not showing up, he's telling God, I can't prosecute them. I'm defending them. By not showing up, he's defending them. That's what he's saying. Let's continue. There's a whole beautiful parasha in the Torah about Melech, appointing a king. Let's look a little bit further in the Chumash. Appointing the king. Kisavo al aretz pasuk yudal. Perek yudzayin pasuk yudal. Kisavo al aretz asher hashem lakach anosen lach v'yishtav v'yishav teba. V'amarta asim alai melech kechol hagoyim asher sviv osa. Many, many, many commentaries talk about this idea of appointing a king. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? The Torah seems that it sounds like, and you will say, I should place upon me a melech like all the goyim that are around me. And then God responds and says, Som tasim alach melech, you shall surely place upon you a king. So there's obvious tension here. On the one hand, it sounds like you're only doing it because of all the goyim. You're not really so excited. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sound like you're so excited about it. But then it sounds like it's a mitzvah. So in fact, in the Gemara, in Maseches Sanhedrin, the Gemara quotes two opinions about this. Take a look in the next source. V'chein haya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shalosh mitzvos netzdavu Yisrael b'knisasam la'aretz. Klal Yisrael was commanded on three mitzvos when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Lahamed lahamelach, they commanded a mitzvah to appoint a king. Lahachriz zarish al amalek, to destroy the generations, the children of Amalek. V'livnos lahem beis habechira, and to build beis hamikdash. There's three things that they're obligated to do upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nehorai Omer, and some say that's Rabbi Meir, who usually write Nehorai. You see the word Nehora means light in Aramaic. Meir also means light. Some say Rabbi Nehorai is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Nehorai Omer, lo nemra parsha zu ela kineget tar omasan. No, this is not a mitzvah. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nehorai disagrees, says, no, there is no mitzvah upon the Jewish people to appoint a king. In fact, this was only a dispensation. This was an accommodation that the Rabbanu Shlomo made for an inappropriate request by the Jewish people, which interestingly, despite the fact that it was inappropriate, nevertheless, the Rabbanu Shlomo made an accommodation and said, okay, I will allow you to appoint a king, but not that there's an obligation to do it. Not that there's an obligation. I will allow you to do it. Som tasim alecha melech. It's just, shenemar v'amarta. You said you want it. I'll see what about. So I'll respond, and you said you want it. So I'll say, I'm okay with it. Oh, well, listen to Rav Soloveitchik's take on this mitzvah. A Jewish king can only be appointed upon the request of the people. He is not foisted upon them. He can't seize the throne. The Torah is fearful of giving any individual absolute power to rule over his fellow man. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by being the creator, is capable of ruling. He quotes the Gemara. Most Mefarshim understand, accept the view of Rabbi Nehorai. Most of the Mefarshim accept Rabbi Nehorai that there is no mitzvah to appoint a king. Interestingly, the Rambam, who of course was the Soloveitchik family's hero, the Rambam, for those who have studied any of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Soloveitchik family, the Rambam is the absolute hero. Even though they weren't Svaradim, right? The Svaradim usually paskin like the Rambam, the Mechaber, and Shulchan Aruch paskin the Rambam, the Ramah, Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, generally don't follow the Rambam, but in the Soloveitchik, in the Brisker dynasty, so Rav Soloveitchik, the Rambam is the hero. But in this case, he actually spends a lot of time not explaining the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah, but most Rishonim don't hold that way. Most Rishonim hold because the simple pshat of the Pesukim, both in Shmuel, and here, right, he quotes... Let's see. So he says, most Mefarshim, including the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, the Abarbanel, are against the Rambam and support the view of Rabbi Nehorai, that the appointment of a king is a concession to human weakness. We'll read the Abarbanel inside in a minute. And it's not mandatory. At most, it is tolerated, but it is not a religiously desirable institution. Rabbi Huda disagrees. Why does the Torah resist an absolute power structure? Why is delegating rulership to one man over his fellow man not desirable? So Rav Soloveitchik mentions two reasons. And they're obvious, but I think they bear some discussion. It is a well-known axiom that power tends to corrupt the one who wields it. The noblest, best-intentioned ruler, some of us might be bosses in our businesses, we might have a lot of people who work for us. I'm a boss in my business. I mean, someone has to oversee me too, but I'm certainly taking this as those who haven't come to the shir know that whenever I'm giving shir, I'm not giving shir to you. I'm only giving shir to myself. You're allowed to listen in, but I'm not talking to you. I'm only talking to myself. Every single thing I'm talking to anybody else about applies to me probably a lot more than it applies to you, especially this one. So let's talk straight. The noblest, best-intentioned ruler is affected by the glory, tribute, and power of his office. This may cause him to step over the boundary of legitimate authority and succumb to arbitrariness and tyranny. The human ego is likely to be distorted and intoxicated by a status which has no external limits. A ruler may develop insatiable craving for mass acclaim and shape his policies to curry favor with the masses through pomp, wasteful symbolic expenditures, and expansionist strivings for vulgar instincts. How many years ago he wrote this? How? He wasn't discussing the current political climate, right? Okay. While his authority is seemingly unlimited, he longs for the Hosannas. I guess it's an English word. Who knew? I didn't know it. But okay, thank you. Okay, good. Hosannas of the crowd, and become, I need Dr. Brody here, Hosannas of the crowd, and become subservient to their mercurial predilections. The balance of the noblest personality can be influenced by such conflicting tensions. And he quotes, here, look in the psukim inside, when Shaul was denounced by the prophet Shmuel for transgressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, he offered the lame defense that he had to satisfy the people's lust for the spoils of war and submit to their demands. In effect, Shaul conceded he was a follower, not a ruler. Take a look at the psukim inside. Vayomer Shaul, right? Shmuel says to Shaul, I'm hearing, didn't God tell you to destroy all the people and all the sheep? So why am I hearing? Why may I call it? So Shaul meets Shmuel and he says, oh, I did what Hashem wanted. I destroyed Amalek. And Shmuel says to him, well, how come I hear the sound of sheep in the background? And Shaul says, look inside, Vayomer Shaul, may Amalek give you Mashachom al-Ha'am. The people said, hey, it's a good idea. Let's not kill all the sheep. We'll bring them as karbanos to the Ribono Shel Olam. And what does Shmuel respond? You think God wants your karbanos? God wants you to listen to him. He doesn't want your karbanos. He wants you to listen to him. Finally, and after a few times, right, not only once, but another time, Shmuel is finally getting Shaul to get the message. Finally, after the second time, I sinned. How many leaders have said this, right? I was scared of the people, and I did what the people wanted, not what you, the Ribono Shel Olam, wanted. Wow. That's a lot of mussar for anybody who runs his own business, for anybody who has to worry about popular opinion. So that's number one. Continues Rav Soloveitchik. The second reason why God doesn't want to give power to a king. So number one is that, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, they used to tell us in political science class in college. It's going back 32 years to Dr. Bevin. Okay. A second reason for the Torah's reluctance to delegate absolute power. That was the old days. I thought maybe I was going to be a lawyer. Okay. A second reason for the Torah's reluctance to delegate absolute power is that it's difficult to formulate criteria for ideal leadership. Who should rule? Is the aggressive, brilliant personality superior to the humble, contrite individual? Accidents of birth and circumstance may elevate one person to a more privileged class, endowing him with a regal bearing and an extroverted personality which evoke popular actions, popular acclaim. Have not many incompetent leaders wreaked havoc throughout history despite their charismatic personalities? Who, therefore, is entitled to rule? Perhaps no man is ever entitled to rule over his fellow man precisely because of these considerations. Rulership is, after all, a divine attribute. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can exercise it equitably, without abuse. In our prayers, we say, I want men to look up this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, L'cha Hashem Agdul V'amalucha, right? We say, V'amisnase L'cha L'rosh. Although we believe that imitating Hashem's ways is a basic Torah guide to morality, Mahu Rachum, Afatar Rachum, Mahu Chano Nafatal Chano, we say you're supposed to imitate Hashem, says our salvation. In this aspect of rulership, we're never commanded to. We don't say Mahu Melech Afatatia Melech. We don't say such a thing like that. Appointing a king was often. So let's take a look at that Bar Menoh. Take a look at that Bar Menoh. Look inside. Acharei Be'ak Domas Ha'ilashek Damti. Pirish Parshas Hamelech Vinyan Mitzvah Kfi Amitasa. Shema Pirish, listen to, let me tell you that, Bar Menoh says, let me tell you the real pshat in this business of king. Hine, Baruch Yisavo Al-Aretz Hashem Lech Nosi Lech Levyishna Vishavta V'amarta, you're going to say, Asim Alay Melech Kchol HaGoyim. Ein B'zeh Mitzvah Klal. Bar Menoh clearly coming out on the side of the Ramban, Eben Ezra, and Rove Rishonim against the Rambam. This is not a mitzvah at all. Ein B'zeh Mitzvah Klal. It's rather a telling over what's going to happen in the future. Yomar achrei yosam be'eretan of cheres, after you live in the land of Israel, v'acharei akibush v'amonchamos kulam, after you already conquered the whole land. So there's no point in having a king anymore. Achrei achiluk, after the land has already been distributed. Right, the Torah says, in our parasha, it says, after you've already inherited, that's when you're going to ask. After. Abravanel, in a previous paragraph, says, if you had asked her before, that would have made sense. You need somebody to help you in battle. Okay, that's just a practical matter. You need somebody to lead you in battle. You don't want everybody just, you know, running into trouble. You need someone to be the commander-in-chief of the army. You need somebody to say that. But you already inhabited the land. There's no wars anymore. So what do you need a king for? V'ani yodati sh'tia kfuyim tova. You are going to be a kafuy tova. You're going to be, kishetomru me'atzmechem, asim alai melech. You're going to be rejecting and rebelling against the goodness of Hashem. You don't want to do this for Hashem purposes. You want to do this to compare yourself to the other nations. The foolishness. Then it would have made sense to ask when you went in first. Want to be like the nations. Once you're picking a king, choose the one who I want you to pick. Look what he says. Skip online. It's not a commandment to do, but it's if you want to do it like this. And the Abarbanel creates a very fascinating comparison between the mitzvah of Melech to the mitzvah of Yifas Torah. Wow, look what he says. V'hudomer, of Salvation quotes this. That's why I quoted this piece. V'hudomer, l'pashas kiseite l'mocham aleivecha, v'ra'isa bashivya, she'enu mitzvah she'yachshuk ba v'yiv alena, v'lo she'yikachet v'lena k'mo she'hi, av'l udvar rishus u'mifal ha'yetzar hara, wow. So the Abarbanel, Rav Salvechik quotes this Abarbanel, and he says that Abarbanel compares the mitzvah of appointing a king on you to the mitzvah of Yufas Torah. What's the mitzvah of Yufas Torah? A wild parasha in the Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're a soldier and you're in battle, and you're at war, and we're afraid you're away from home, you're going to have a taiva for a non-Jewish woman that you're going to find in the battlefield. So the Torah says you are allowed to. Again, there's a little matter of dispute in the Gemara exactly under what circumstances you are allowed to, but everyone agrees. The Gemara says, Dibra Torah keneged Yetzirah. We're afraid you're going to have a Yetzirah for a non-Jewish woman, and the Torah allows you to commit this Aveira, in quotes, Dibra Torah keneged Yetzirah, with this woman in the battlefield, the Eishes Yifas Torah, and then it tells you afterwards you got to convert her and then you got to marry her. But at the time, according to most opinions, you are allowed to commit an aveir with a non-Jewish woman. Dibra Torah keneged Yetzirah, because we know that in the battlefield you can have a Yetzirah. Says the Abarbanel, this is the same thing with the king, that it comes from a bad place. The request to be like all the other nations. We want to have a national presence. We want to be a nation like all the other nations. And again, and some of the secular components of Israeli society, some of the secular components of modern day Israeli society stem from this also, that we want to be a nation like all the other nations. Not necessarily. Not everything comes from such a good place in terms of the government. And of course, this is one of the reasons why some of the Frum establishment does not support the state of Israel. Comes from this very idea that ideas of the state being a state is not what the Torah wants in that sense. The same kind of system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Shoftim that if you want to have rulership like the Goyim, I don't like the request, but if you're making the request, then I'm telling you this is the way I'd like you to do it. Som tasim alechem el. So says the Abarbanel. Oh, yeah, that you need. Police you need. That's true. Police you need.
It's interesting.
Yeah, you need that.
Rav Soloveitchik does not quote the fundamental point that we see in the Nach. The people were able to control Shaul And that's what they really want.
Right.
You can't
yeah.
control God. You're not going to change his laws. Yeah. But if you have a king, put enough pressure
exactly.
on him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do whatever you
that
want.
That is what he alluded to before. Her. That is what he alluded
right.
to.
Oh. But not. But he quotes the Abravanel. The Abravanel never comes out with that particular point.
Yeah.
He says, no, this is not right, but I'm letting you do it because of a bad place. It doesn't say
interesting these two mitzvahs that the Abravanel puts together both end poorly. Because historically, the kings were a disaster. And according to Ishit Sfas Torah, essentially goes to Ben Sora Mora.
Very true. Exactly. Beautiful. Very good. That's exactly what the Torah says. They put those three parshas. The Medrash says the reason why Ben Sora Mora comes right after you fast Torah, because if you submit to your tithes there, you can end up, there's three parshas there, right? Well, that's going to be, we're going to read it in 2 weeks, right? There's three parshas there. The first three parshas in Kisei say you have you fast Torah, then you have don't favor the Ben Ahuva over the Ben Asnua, and then you have Ben Sora Mora. So it's like the Chazon Ish said, raising good children is 50% Shalom Bayis and 50% Siyata Deshmaya. So said the Chazon Ish, 50% Shalom Bayis, 50% Siyata Deshmaya for a different shmooze. But anyway, but what you're referring to there is that the Chazal say that if you submit to your tithes by the Ben Sora Mora, you're going to end up having, if you submit to your tithes by Eishes Yifas Torah, you're going to end up having a Ben Sora Mora. So even though you're pointing out, even though the Torah gives you a dispensation, it's not a dispensation that we want you to take. Not only is it not that you want to take, but it's going to end up in disaster. And similar to all the Malchei Yisrael, referring to all of the Tanakh, is filled with all the Malchei Yisrael, how corrupt so many of the Malachim. And every once in a while, you get one king who was actually good, but the overwhelming majority of the kings were corrupted. They're corrupted by the people, they're corrupted by, because they're human beings. And that's what Salvation is addressing in this piece, that most rulership between over men, Judaism, we don't really subscribe to. We say man malchei rabbanon, Chazal say man malchei rabbanon, but you're supposed to have covered for your Torah scholars. But in terms of formal, you know, rulership of one person over the other, the mayor, the king, the president, these institutions, Judaism is not so excited about those kind of institutions. He didn't want to be called king. That's why. That's why he's president. Yeah.
Mr.
That was the thing.
Okay.
The term president is a lower level than king. Yeah.
We said yeah. that it's okay because on the battlefield, that's where it's where you're going to have the Yetzirah.
Yeah.
Say that on anything.
Yeah. That's its own. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get to there. We'll see what he has to say when he gets to that. Kiseitze. Hold on. That's that next week. We're not learning. Okay. You have to figure it out on your own. Buy the book and read it on your own. Okay. Don't buy the book. Yeah. Oh. One last piece. One very last. And by the way, anyone needs to leave, please don't worry. We don't take offense. Everyone's got places to go. If you need to leave, please don't have that. One font, but this is really amazing. This is also amazing. Amazing piece. The Yud complained. Unbelievable. Lo yarvel onashim. This is a great way to end. Lo yarvel onashim v'lo yasur levavel. Listen to Rav Soloveitchik's take on this. Again, this is, you didn't know Rav Soloveitchik was into these fascinating midrashim,
yeah.
But lo yarvel onashim lo yasur levavel. So he quotes a medrash. I have the medrash for you here. So Shlomo HaMelech said, I'm going to have a lot of wives, and they're not going to dissuade me. They're not going to make me leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what happened? He did it, and he sinned. Listen to this medrash, unbelievable. I never saw this medrash. Medrash Rabbah. In the next source, Amad Shlomo HaMelech Hichim. He says, no, I'm going to have a lot of wives, and they're not going to soar. Amar Rabbah Seinu Ba'osa Shah, also Yud Shebiyarbeh. The Yud in the word Lo Yarbeh came to complain to God. Who is this Shlomo HaMelech? He thinks he doesn't have to listen to your Torah. God, you wrote in your Torah Lo Yarbeh Lo Nashim, and he thinks he's smarter than you? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right, that because of that he's going to sin. Instead of salvation, what's the that the Yud complained?
Yeah.
Listen to this part. And the Medrash says, and how do we know that the Yud was this? That's why Hashem erased the Yud from Sarai's name, came Sarai, and then the Yud came back by Yahushua. Well, I don't want to go into that now. That's a whole other shtickle Torah from Rav Soloveitchik. What does it mean, the Yud? We don't have time for that. You know, he says, what does it mean, lo yarbe lo nashim? Look what he says, yarbe. Why is yarbe written in the future? Lo yarbe lo nashim. Said Rav Soloveitchik, Pshat, what does it mean, the Yud complained? Even if right now you think you're strong against the Yetzirah, but you don't know what's going to be in a week from now, in a month from now, in the future. That's why the Yud complained. because it was the Seder of Soloveitchik. It was his future self. Shlomo HaMelech at that moment in time was taka strong enough to withstand it. So he thought, I can withstand it. But as you get older, as things change, as you get weaker, and you don't know what's going to be in a month or a year or a couple of years, so what do we say? Pasuk says, "Al tamen ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha." You can't trust yourself. You can't just because you're strong now. You think, "Oh, I'm strong. I'm going to defeat the Yitzhara now." The Yud complained. The Yud complained because what do you mean? The Yud complained because the Yud is Yarbe in the future. Yarbe in the future. Let me just read to you very briefly. The Hebrew letter Yud is the prefix that indicates future tense. Although Shlomo was correct and in his present state he would be unaffected, he did not recognize that in the future the situation could change. When he became older and weaker, that's when his wives swayed Shlomo's heart, as the Pesukim say in Malachim Aleph. And that altars to false gods were built in his palace by these wives. The Yud demonstrated that even Shlomo, the wisest of men who ever lived, could fall prey to what he was certain he could avoid. That's Rav Shechter quotes that in the Pnine Harav from Soloveitchik, page 367. 368. So, if I had to summarize what we discussed in the shiur this week, many, many different aspects, but the key ones, I think, are what we started with and what we finished with, which is, we're in the month of introspection. We're in the month that you have to be tzedek tirdof leman tichya. You have to be both judge and jury on yourself. It's very hard. You have to be both the prosecutor and the defense. You have to be able to take a step out of yourself this month. Very hard to give yourself a report card, but that's what we're supposed to do this month. We have to take a cheshbon hanefesh. That's what this month is about. Chesbon HaNefesh. Chesbon HaNefesh means this is the month for Laman Tichy. You want to have a good justice on Rosh Hashanah. You want to have a good Tichyus. You want to be able to live on Rosh Hashanah. Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof. Take a step out of yourself and judge yourself. And when you're doing that judgment, as we concluded with, don't just look at what the situation is now and say, okay, I can take this liberty, I can take that liberty, I'm strong, I'm able. You got to worry about not only what's now, but if the Torah tells you to be careful about something, don't think you're so strong, you're always going to be able to defeat the temptation. You got to also worry about what's in the future. Hopefully we should all take this month. Again, I apologize. This coming Friday, there's no shiur because I'm on Freshman Shabbaton. If you want to join the shiur WhatsApp group, I urge you to do that just for updates, just in case it's the last second stuff. I'll also put the recording of it out on the shiur WhatsApp group. So if you miss a week, that's dangerous right now. Now, if it's on the WhatsApp group, you can miss a week. Now, no one has to come. That's the thing. Now in the age of why you don't, no one needs to go to any shiur. I don't got to hear it on the thing. No one has to come.
So, you
can
give next week's shiur from the hotel.
Oh, I could. I could give it to the hotel. Send it on the WhatsApp group. There we go. Okay. We could do that. So, send me an email if you want to join the WhatsApp group. I made the WhatsApp group last night. Send me an email if you want to join. I'll put you on the group. Have a wonderful Shabbos.